You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Pollution is caused by poisonous words, as well as by smoke and junk. We need to clean up our language, too.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
As we turn to God in prayer, let us give special attention to His blessing of communication. Father in heaven, we thank You for the gift of words and the ability to talk to You and with one another. Forgive us, for Jesus' sake, when we speak cruelly and lovelessly, and when we refuse to say the good word to someone who really needs to hear it. Lead us to see how important it is to use words carefully, so that we honor You and are more helpful to one another. Teach us to listen more to Your words of forgiving love. In Jesus our Savior's name, amen. What's the good word? Sometimes this question is asked without expecting an answer. It's an expression we use for greeting one another, like, hello, and how are you? There are occasions when we ask, what's the good word? And we anxiously await an answer that will tell us that everything is all right. I am thinking of what the surgeon will tell us after the operation, or what the boss will say about the expected promotion and raise in pay. We know that under certain conditions and situations, we won't always agree with what is good news and what is bad news. Food prices may be great for the grower and at the same time outrageously high for the consumer. Sunny and warm may be perfect picnic weather, but miserable weather for the crop that is drying up for lack of moisture. A resolution passed at the church convention isn't always applauded by every delegate. While some smile and say, that's good, others shake their heads in dismay and moan, that's bad. There is one word that is always good, and that is God's word. His word is good because it is a message of help and healing. It's all love. The good news is that God hasn't given up on His world. God loved and still loves the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son to save us all. Jesus, God's Son and our Savior, is the good word. The Bible calls Him the Word of God in the flesh and tells us about His walk and talk, His life and death, and His victory over death for us. All this is the greatest good news. It means that we have God's forgiveness and the good life with Him that will never end. Of course, some of us respond with a, what's so good about that? We seem to be pretty well satisfied with the way things are. We don't see that we need God and His goodness. We feel that we're doing all right. We think we can make our own good news by working hard and staying out of trouble and minding our own business. In answer to the question, what's the good word? We often reply with, I'm good. It's easy for us to look around and see so much wrong in the lives of others. So we adopt the mythical, what a good boy am I, religion. We close our eyes and our ears to the fact that time and again we are bad news in the eyes of God and to the people around us. God's man, the Apostle Paul, tells us that we can be and often are guilty of saying the bad word instead of the good word. God says, quit lying. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. This bad language that should not come out of our mouths has absolutely nothing to do with poor grammar. This bad mouthing has to do with using words to dishonor, degrade, and hurt. We say things that tear people up. These are mean words that slash, cut, and cause someone to bleed down deep inside. We also say things that tear people down. This is the gossipy evil talk aimed at ruining another's reputation. The legal language for this kind of talk is slander and defamation of character. All right, so we don't get hauled into court and sued. We still have to stand before the Lord God and plead guilty for every word that wounds our neighbor and injures his name. By the way, that goes for God's name, too. He tells us that it is sinful business to use his name carelessly and maliciously. Then there's that sensuous, smutty speech that twists and pollutes the passions. It's dirty, filthy stuff that drags people down into the gutter. Hideous, stinking gases in the atmosphere can cause great discomfort and considerable injury. So can corrupt communication, which is the bad breath of words that roll from the mouths of men. There's the talk that demoralizes. It is the word that entices and invites someone to be dishonest. Others are doing it all the time. Go ahead, don't worry. You won't get caught. It is the kind of speech that encourages sexual immorality. Let yourself go. Break out of your shell. Live the liberated life. The bad word calls for cruelty and disregard for authority. Don't let anybody push you around. Hit back. Don't let him get away with it. Who says you have to? Do your own thing. Little offhand remarks, aren't they? But each one is packed with damnable dynamite. The talk that demoralizes doesn't always call for rebellious action. Sometimes it is the discouraging, disheartening word. Here's the student who is struggling to learn and carry out assignments. All he hears is, why work so hard? It doesn't pay. Take shortcuts. Just about everybody else cheats. Young people are put down as troublemakers and incompetents. And what about the morale of the faithful church worker when she is reminded continually that her efforts won't be appreciated? After all, who cares? There's still more that needs to be said about our bad words that hurt. There is the loose and tactless talk, the snide remarks that alienate people and break up friendships and marriages, that put up barriers and create factions in the community and in the church. This is where God's word comes in. It confronts our wrongs, all our bad words, all our sins. God's word makes us right. That is why it's so good. Jesus, the Word made flesh, was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Some may suggest that the cure for dirty, mean, profane language is washing out the mouth with strong soap. But what really does the job is the washing and cleansing of our whole being with the blood of Jesus. All the spots and stains, the shame and the soil of our sins, are removed by his perfect sacrifice. Jesus, by his innocent suffering and death on a cross, has put us in good with God. This good word of God continues to come to needy people today just as it did when Jesus once walked this earth. He comes to encourage, to build up, to heal, to comfort, to strengthen. Listen to what he said and keeps on saying. Don't be afraid. Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Peace be unto you. Bless you, peacemakers. Bless you, merciful ones. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Is there any word that can be better than that? Here are words that we shall never tire of. We'll want to keep coming back for more. We need to fill up on this good news of peace, hope, and joy that comes from our God and Lord. People who let the word of Christ dwell in them richly are inspired and eager to speak it. They want God to know how they feel. They open their lips to praise Him, to give thanks, and with a loud voice glorify their God. They say with the psalmist, "Lord, you are good and ready to forgive. I praise you, Lord, because you have saved me. I cried to you for help, Lord my God, and you healed me. You restored my life. You are good to me, Lord. You have kept me safe as in a mountain fortress. You have changed my sadness into joyful dance. You have taken off my clothes of mourning and given me clothes of joy. So I will not be silent. I will sing praise to you. Lord, you are my God, and I will give thanks to you forever." And he is pleased with this worship which arises from the hearts and lives of his people. At the same time, he directs us on the course of life that involves getting the good word out to those around us and all over the world. Put away lying. Let everyone speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. We're living in a time when many people consider this God talk out of place and out of date. It's labeled sweet talk. It's looked upon as old-fashioned and stuffy. This world of reality doesn't have room for language like that. It's too sentimental. It's got to be gutsy and hard-nosed. One playwright attempted to defend the sensitive and sentimental approach to life this way. For what is sentiment, in a sense, but the celebration of high courage, the rebellion of the human spirit against the counsels of despair and the triumph of good over evil? As of today, we appear to be swamped by misery, violence, and ugliness on the stage, screen, and the printed page. The way to popularity seems to lie through the glorification of the loser, the misfit. Life is mirrored as drab, depressing, and leading only to the grave. We are, according to our writers, directors, and producers, miserable, vicious, sex-crazed, hopeless creatures, staggering blindly and woefully about our planet, going nowhere, achieving nothing. The author argues that, for the sake of so-called realism, hatred and violence are being promoted as a normal way of life. He resists and rejects as unacceptable the idea that real people don't like people, that they never help, that they only seek to use and abuse each other, that love and kindness are fairy tale feelings. These are not the facts of life, certainly not the facts of the new life in Christ. His love for us and in us calls forth from us a loving concern for others. He leads us to love one another. He inspires us to care enough to get the good word out to them. The life we live on this higher level rejects the game of life that drives people to despair. Our call from Christ is to build up, not knock down. That is what the word edify means. Let that kind of talk come out of your mouth that edifies, that builds up people. The best kind of love language that you and I can speak is the kind that builds a bigger and better relationship with Christ Jesus. It has to do with the good news of His divine love. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. That's right. I'm telling you, Jesus is your friend. In love, He died for you. You are saved because of Him. Now you tell it. It is an exciting word, isn't it? Of course, it is interesting to talk politics and business. It's fun to get into heated discussions about the pennant chances of the Cubs and the Cards, the Tigers and the Red Sox. But nothing in all the world means as much as being winners through Christ Jesus. Nothing compares with being God's redeemed people. If you believe this with all your heart, then use your tongue to tell it. And say it and live it with love. As you rejoice in God's word of forgiving love, with your forgiving love, you will reach out to those who hurt. No, it's not silly and overly sentimental. That is the way the God-man Jesus operated. That is the way his men, women, and children treat other people. Father, forgive them, is what he prayed for those who put him on the cross. I forgive you, is what his forgiven people say. And they mean it because Jesus lives in their hearts. When you get out the good word, make sure that it is also the friendly, encouraging word. There are so many difficulties and hindrances inside and outside of us that can discourage and get us down in the dumps. You and I need morale builders, cheerleaders, to lift us up and spur us on. That pat on the back, that good word, "I know you can do it," means a lot, friend. So you don't kick him when he's down. Instead, you pick him up and dust him off and get him started again. And don't forget the reassuring reminder that in every challenge and test of life, Jesus goes along to help and strengthen. What a far cry this is from the wet blanket who spends his time trying to convince people that it can't be done. He is no more than a recruiter for quitters. God, give us more people and more places where never is heard the discouraging word. The good word is also the comforting word. Have you ever hurt down deep inside? Then you know what it means to want somebody to reach out to you and say, "I'm here. I care." The Lord Jesus, who never stops caring for us, has promised to be present with his comfort. He tells his people, "I am always with you." And he sends them out with the holy order, "Have the same care for one another. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing." To comfort and to bless, to find a balm for woe, to tend the lone and fatherless, is angels' work below. What's the good word? If you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have it in your heart. It is the good news that God loves you, forgives you, and gives you a never-ending life filled with his Spirit. This is the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Friend, all this is for you, and it is for others through you. Let them in on the good word and the good life. Get it out. Forgive, encourage, comfort. That's the good word. Amen.